Welcome to this special edition of A.T. Stewart Ministries podcast. In the light of the coronavirus outbreak in our world and the national emergency that's been declared in our nation and in most of our states, I want to say a word of hopeful comfort to those of you, my faithful listeners. Naturally, we have to look at this situation from a Christian worldview. That is the only way we can appropriately address it. Now, let me just say, I do not have all the answers by any means, but I do know, even from the book of Job, we're taught that there is a mystery to suffering and pain. And when I do not understand what God is doing, I nevertheless affirm what I do believe about our great God. And I want to just say there are three characteristics, attributes of God that we must affirm in all situations. And if we will hold to these three attributes, believe and trust in Him who is above all, we can have peace even in the midst of tremendous adversity. And first, it is God's wisdom. God's wisdom means that God knows the best way to accomplish His will and His purpose. The Bible says that God works all things after the counsel of His will. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, what is God's will? God's will is that He bring His elect unto Himself, and He has therefore present to His Son His bride, the church. And so God's overarching plan through human history is to accomplish the redemption of those whom He has given to the Son, known as the elect. And wisdom means that God knows the best way to accomplish a purpose. And He knows the best way to bring about the redemption of the bride of Christ. And everything that goes on in this world is moving toward that end. Now, this is beyond our comprehension. This is beyond our understanding. But nevertheless, God is so much greater than we are. His ways are not our ways, nor His thoughts our thoughts. Isaiah says, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are His thoughts above our thoughts, and His ways above our ways. But we can rest in the fact that God's wisdom is at work to carry forth His redemptive plan. Now also, God's plan is to shape His children into the image of Christ. That's what we see in Romans 8, 28 and 29. That God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God's plan for us is to conform us to the image of Christ. And God's wisdom mandates that He knows and chooses the best way to accomplish that conformation, conforming us to the image of Christ in our lives. And God's not in the cookie cutter business. His plan for each individual is tailor-made. That's why some individuals go through things that we look and say, my God, why are they going through that? Well, they're going through that because it is however it might affect you and your family, you can rest assured that in God's wisdom, it is the best way to conform you to the image of Christ. So the first attribute of God we must affirm is His wisdom. The second attribute of God that we must confirm is His love. Now, God's love requires that He always do what is best for His elect, for His children. that he will only do the most loving thing for them, and that is what is best, what will conform them to the image of Christ. Now, if God simply was all wise and he knew what the best thing to do was, but he was not all loving, then we would not be assured that he would do that best thing for us. But because he is love, his love requires that he choose not a good path for us, not a better path for us, but that he choose the best path for us. And the best thing to accomplish his purpose in our life. And so God's love, we can rest in his love. He not only knows what is best, but his love will assure that he desires to do what is best. But that in itself, these two attributes are not enough. God's sovereignty must come into play. God can know what's best. He can desire to do what's best. But if he is limited in his ability to bring about what is best, then we have a problem. But I want to assure you that God is absolutely sovereign. The scripture over and over teaches that. Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." So now we know not only does God have the wisdom to know what's best for our life, what's best to complete his redemptive plan for mankind, not only do we know that he is love, therefore he will choose what is best to accomplish his redemptive plan, but God is also sovereign. That means he has the power to accomplish his all-wise, all-loving plan for his children. He has the power to accomplish his all-wise, all-loving, redemptive plan for mankind. Now, God's sovereignty is not limited, or it would not be sovereign. Everything that happens in the universe and beyond is under the absolute nanosecond by nanosecond sovereignty of God. Nothing comes into your life that has not come through the sovereign hand of God. Isaiah, God says he's the one that creates calamity. He is the one that creates benefits and goodness. Our God is a God who accomplishes all these things for us in our life and in this world. And so we might want to limit him and what he can do, but he does not limit himself. God so clearly says in Isaiah chapter 47, these words beginning in verse 5, "I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these." And so though our human mind may wrestle with the whole concept of this coronavirus and the destruction that it is bringing, make no mistake that God is the one who is ultimately in control. It may have come through the hands of sinful men, but it did not in any way come without the sovereign hand of God allowing this to happen. And so we as Christians must rest in God working out his plan even when we do not and cannot understand. So where does this leave us? This leaves us trusting in God. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord." Now, the only way to get around fear is faith, trust. Psalm 112:7 says about the righteous man, "He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord." Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to receive bad news. It doesn't mean things that are tragic are not going to happen to him. But it means he's not going to be afraid, because he knows God will be with him, and God will take care of him, and God will give him the grace he needs when the time comes. Now, I cannot sit here and tell you, because you're a Christian, you will not get the coronavirus. In fact, I can tell you that the coronavirus will come to Christians as well as non-Christians. I cannot tell you that a loved one or you yourself will not die from the coronavirus. But what I can tell you is that you will not die unless it is the sovereign will of God for you to die. I can tell you that you can trust in your God, that even if you die, it is for your best. Now, let me say clearly, for the Christian, there are a great deal of things worse than death. In fact, for the Christian, death is about the best thing that can happen to us. In fact, I've said the best day of a person's life is the day he comes to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the second best day is when he goes to heaven. Now, we do not like to leave loved ones, and we hate to think of what they go through. But let me tell you that even if a child is taken by this illness, they have gone to be in the presence of God and spared from much suffering in this world. So I do not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I want to encourage you to place your absolute trust in God. Surrender your future, your children, your family, your life, your goals, your ambitions to the sovereign God who loves you more than you can imagine. If you will surrender to him everything and desire only what will bring him the most glory, then you will have peace. Say, "God, if me getting this coronavirus and being sick and being in intensive care for weeks will bring you the most glory, then Lord, bring it on. If me getting the coronavirus and it kills me and that brings you the most glory, then God, I desire that glory." One of the great writers of old, Christian writers, and I think it might have been Hudson Taylor or Andrew Murray, he says, "Surrender to the Lord and say, 'God, be glorified in my life and send me the bill.'" Be glorified in my life and send me the bill. Do whatever it takes for you to be made much of in my life and send me the bill. And that bill may be very high to pay, but that's the surrender that will give you, my brothers and sisters, peace in the midst of this storm. God says, "Fear not, for I am with you." Oh, how many times has he said this to his children throughout the scriptures? And the presence of God has been enough to give them peace. Because you know, if he is with you, again, no matter what comes your way, you cannot lose, because a loving, sovereign God is taking absolute care of you. So we know that we do not need to be afraid We do not need to fear. Our God is a great and mighty God. We need to trust Him, look to Him, to be everything and absolutely care for us, according to His blessed care. Isaiah 41:10, God says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What more can we ask than to have God's promise that He will be with us and He will never desert us nor forsake us? I trust and pray that God will encourage you. He will strengthen your faith during this time and by this message. May God bless you. Goodbye.